recognize these deities? How did you acquire them? We were serving in the temple every Sunday and every function in Detroit. Devasudan Mandir, Radhakundi Desai. And then one day our Siksha Guru, Gokul Chandra Prabhu, he's Radhanath Maharaj disciple. He had the deities installation ceremony in his house. And so I was there, myself and my wife. And then when we went to temple next day was Sunday. And I was frying puris. And the temple president came and he asked, bronze or resin. So I didn't understand what it was. Then other devotee who was next to him, he told, definitely bronze. And the temple president left. And I asked the devotee, what are you talking about? And nothing, you just fry the puris. So, and then we fried the puris, and then they called our names. So when we went there, they presented the deities.
Gopal deity or the Gaurantai deity?
Gaurantai deity is Guru Maharaj. And Gopal deity, like my daughter Shruti, we were celebrating birthday with all the devotees. And one devotee who is Gopal Krishna Maharaj's disciple, and the Prabhu is Bhakti Charu Maharaj's disciple. And they came and they gave a small gift and they told us, Laddu Gopal, ask her to worship every day. Mm. So we didn't know. We know that we don't have the qualification. And so we were keeping Laddu Gopal separately. Mm. And then after coming here, we asked you, you said for Abandon Mercy, he can come onto the altar for Kaman Mercy.
So who's going to worship Kornatai and who's going to worship Gopal?
No problem.
Are you volunteering? They're going to worship? Or you're going to worship? They're going to come over here every morning and worship? Oh. Then you're going to come over and... Huh? I'm looking for an answer. I'm not looking for a... Huh. Do they know that? Is that right? But he just said that your daughter's going to worship, and she's saying they're going to worship, and they're probably going to say you're going to worship. She'll learn from them. And then you'll worship. Okay.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Right now, all four of us are worshipping tomorrow after the Mangalarti. Come here and they do the arti. My son and my daughter.
Oh, Jai.
Okay.
Mataji introduced. After Chicago came, they're doing
it. How long has that been going on?
After Gita camp from Chicago.
Okay.
Once they returned.
So about a month.
Yes.
Have you been steady? A little louder. Uh huh. Has she been steady?
Yes,
Maharaj. But they're reminding you.
Because we do arati there and come back.
Do you feel different now that you're doing this? Could you share with us how you feel different? More responsible? More happy? Burdened? Okay. You get an A plus for that answer. Deity worship when Prabhupada describes deity worship quite often, it's in terms of the Kanishta Adhikari sense of sadhana bhakti. Kanishta Adhikari means at the beginning stage. So you could say beginning, intermediate, and advanced. Kanishta, Madhyama, and Uttama. Sometimes Prakrita, Madhyama, and Uttama. So, in the beginning stages, just like in Seattle, Washington, I was just there, actually, flew from Seattle to the Potomac, or to the Washington area. They just built a very beautiful temple. They had some land, about an acre and a half to 2 acres of land, but it was an old, embarrassing actually, building. So, after some years of growing their community, they got a permit to build the temple. They built the temple. It's a $4.5 million temple. It's a small piece of land, so the building isn't too big because they can only make the square footage as big as the number of parking places. But it's a nice temple. And because there's a nice temple and nice deities, every day, people that have never been there before, they're coming just to take darshan of the deities. And deity worship in temples is very attractive. It's the principal attractive thing for those who are in the beginning stages of devotional service, or Kanishta Adhikari. Kanishta Adhikari, according to scripture, is a stage where one sees that God is in the place of worship, not only in Vedic tradition, but say in the church. They'll go to the church and they'll be very reverent. And as soon as they get out of the church, off to the golf course or smoke the cigarette or talk about business or let's go to the something-something. Or the mosque. In the mosque, you're very respectful. You go there to pray and to worship. Or the Buddhist temple. But the temple, or the church, or the mosque, or the synagogue, in the beginning stages of spiritual path, it's where God is. It's where you go to pray to God, or worship God, or be with God, feel godly. And beyond that, there's not a great deal of distinction. It's secularism, where there's God, and then there's the world. The intermediate stage, deity worship is very important for those who are on the beginning stages of spiritual life. On the intermediate stage, deity worship remains important, but there's other distinctions that start to form, that one differentiates between God and living entities, and respects that God is within the heart of the living entities. So they're to be respected too. And then there's grades of living entities. There's those that are more advanced. They're devotees of the Lord. There are those that are innocent, they're not opposed to or attracted to, they're just innocent persons. And then those at the very bottom, they're explicitly inimical to God, the atheists. So the scripture enjoins the madhyama, this intermediate position, as one who worships God, but they also make friendships with the devotees, and they extend mercy to those who are innocent, and they carefully avoid the association of those who are atheistic. A prominent feature of the training of those in Madhyama Adhikari life is that they compassionately extend the mercy of the deity, the mercy of the message of the Lord to others in our ISKCON vernacular preaching. And what Srila Prabhupada did when introducing the Western devotees to Krishna consciousness, after some time, not immediately, the immediate activity was lots of chanting, lots of prasadam, a little philosophy, and more chanting, lots of prasadam, a little more philosophy. But after that purification came, the devotees themselves wanted to take this chanting and go into the public and publicly chant and take the knowledge that they were receiving from their spiritual master and in a printed form, deliver that knowledge to others, or a spoken form, deliver that knowledge to others. So the Sankirtan mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was introduced very quickly to our Hare Krishna movement, thus helping to promote even very beginning persons to the Madhyama position. The mercy that was given was the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, and particularly the mercy of the Holy Name, through the agency of the purification of the Holy Name. I mean, when I had left college to go join the Boston Temple, and I reached there for the Sunday feast, and I was there late, and so they knew that I hadn't taken prasadam, but they knew that I was a new guy, so they sent me back in the pot room to wash the pots on Sunday night. I said, I haven't even... Well, it's service. You can take prasadam later. We've got a big pile of pots. So then, on Monday, the day after the first evening that I was there, at 10 o'clock in the morning, everybody piled into the Sankirtan van, and we went to the Boston Common to go on Harinam Sankirtan. First day, no. All I had was my, you know, dungarees and my college outfit. It's okay, come on with us, let's go. And there I was, out on the street, chanting Hare Krishna with all the devotees. First day. Of course, we went to Mangalarti and worshipped the deity in the temple and chanted around and heard the Srimad Bhagavatam class, but my point is that the way that Prabhupada designed our ISKCON movement is to very quickly elevate persons from the Kanishtha to the Madhyama position. And so also in this household, the worship of the deity came after some time, and that's proper. And in the beginning, the hearing and chanting activity, but also learning how to take the various opportunities of giving Krishna consciousness to others. And when you combine deity worship with the other hearing and chanting and preaching activity, Sri Sri Gaurdatai. When hearing and chanting and deity worship are combined with the Sankirtan mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then very quickly one's benefit of purification and one's realizations become very much advanced. Because in the Kanishta position, in the beginning stage, the tendency of approaching the deity is to repose before the deity some request for some desire that's in the heart, like a material desire specifically. Come before God and ask for God for the fulfillment of material desire. This is Prakrita Bhakti or Kanishta Bhakta. It's materialistic in purpose, but bringing that material desire to the shelter of the deity. And when one is elevated to the Madhyama position, one is seeking other types of desires, such as a purified condition of heart, so that one can transparently deliver the message of Bhagavad Gita, the message of pure devotion, and the message of awakening of our dormant God consciousness. Let us become pure enough to be instrumental for delivering this to others. For the consciousness becomes very quickly transformed. Some of you were probably with us for the program on Saturday night at Gauravani's home. This point was brought out by Radhanath Maharaj very nicely. I had mentioned it briefly also, but that the chanting of the holy name of the Lord acts like touchstone. Nama Chintamani Krishnas Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purna Shuddho Nityam Bhukto Vinatvam Nama Namino. Well, the holy name acts like touchstone. And if one has some desire, the chanting of the holy name awakens spiritual desire. And if one has some especially spiritual desire, then that awakening of spiritual desire is very quickly awarded or enriched by the chanting of the holy name. And combine that with the worship of the deity, then the very nature of desire becomes changed. When the nature of desire becomes changed, our whole consciousness becomes elevated. Our whole experience of life changes. But one has to be very careful what you desire. Because if you have material desire and you chant, then that material desire also grows. The example is given in Chaitanya Charitamrita. In the Gundicha Marjana Lila, the cleansing of the Gundicha temple pastime, that just like a garden, when you put in some plant in the garden that you desire, let's say a nice rose plant or gardenia bush or something you want to grow and cultivate so you can offer to Krishna. When you pour water in the soil, what happens when you pour water in the soil? Not only the plant that you want to grow gets water, but the weeds, they also get water. And I'm sure you've noticed, I've noticed, weeds grow faster than the other things. So if all you do is water and you don't take out weeds, before you know it, you have a weed garden. In our farm in Hidanagari, I've been visiting there for so many years, and there's something that I've noticed year after year after year, and that is when the long winter is there, the enthusiasm is there to plan out a nice garden. And practically before it's ready to plow the field, they get out their rototiller or their hoe, and they're plowing the rows and planting the seeds and getting all excited, or making their sprouts so they can little shoots and put the shoots in the ground. And everybody's out there, let's plant the spring planting. And some time passes and they get busy doing other things. You come and visit Gita Nagari and it's a weed garden because they didn't pull the weeds. rain comes, and the seeds in the soil, there are seeds of whatever those weeds are, and they sprout because of the rain, and they're a weed garden. And then, no, we don't want to grow weeds, we just want to grow the vegetables. But you have to also take out the weeds. The chanting and also deity worship, which they go very nicely together, it requires some vigilance in removing from the heart the material desire, the attraction for approaching Krishna for fulfillment of material things. We are being trained in the process of nivritti, not pravritti. You know the difference between these two terms? Pravritti and nivritti? Would you like to learn? Pravritti is the path of increasing material enjoyments, an increased involvement in the material energy. So like now I have $10, but I'd like to have $100. So I'll do some nice pious activity and I'll become piously qualified to have $100. And when I have $100, gee, I'd like to have $500. So I'll do some pious activities. And now I've got $500 worth of pious activities. That's very nice, but now that I have $500 worth, I'd like twice times that. Five times two. $1,000. I'll do some more pious activities. So increasing prosperity through the performance of rituals, karmakanda rituals that increase one's eligibility for material happiness, and sure enough, the material happiness comes, and now that I'm so pious, I just want to keep doing pious things so I can have more and more, and increasing one's material prosperity and one's involvement in the field of the material energy through religious performances. That's called pravritti. And nivritti says, let me see how I can decrease my involvement in material activity so that I can increase my involvement with the spiritual potency of God, and through the spiritual potency of God, directly with God. My direct contact with God, I want my relationship with God. So I want to follow this path of decreasing one's involvement with those things that really aren't necessary. Things that are necessary, that's fine, they're necessary. Things that aren't necessary, we do without them. And so this worship of the deity and the chanting of the holy name go very, very nicely together for spiritual realization if one is on the path of nivritti. And therefore, one of the nice things about deity worship is, there's many nice things, but one of the nice things is, if there's some opulence that comes your way, maybe somebody gives you some gold. It happened a couple of times. People gave a gold ornament, and I thought, wow, I don't have any use of gold. Let me give it to the deity. Gave it to the pujari and said, is there some way you can make a gold ornament that could be adorning the body of the deity? Is that possible? Oh yes, it's possible. There's people that make jewels and ornaments for the deities. We can take it to that shop and they can make one just to fit our little necklace for the deity. Oh, that would be very nice. So, in this way, for those who are householders, when there's some opulence, we say, yes, I'll accept that opulence so that I can offer it to Krishna. For my purposes, simple is nice. For Krishna's purpose, opulence is nice. And we like opulent things, so let's make something opulent for the deity. So that tendency, as household life means, earning something. And when you're earning something, what happens to the mind? If you don't have a place where that opulence goes, then the mind becomes agitated. Oh, how I can spend this money to bring my senses in contact with something really nice and I can enjoy material happiness. That's a possibility. Sometimes that happens in this world. And so deity worship is very nice. One can make nice altar, make nice ornaments, and think, not how I can get the newest style and fashion to adorn my body, but I can, in the practiced stage, it's a principle. On a regular basis, one bathes and dresses the deity and makes garlands for the deity and ornaments for the deity, and it's a regulative practice. But in advanced stages, it's spontaneous. One's mind is drawn. Some devotees who have a very strong attraction for deity worship, their mind is always thinking how to make nice offerings of garments for the deity. We have a pujari in New York, Sharad Bihari. You know Sharad Bihari? One time he asked me to come to his room. He wanted to show me some drawings he had made. And it was about 150 pages of outfits that he had designed for the little Radhakrishna deities that he worships. And they were stunning. And there was this style, and there was that style, and they were very beautiful. It was all just black and white, but very, very, very fine. With little, you know, like a very fine brush kind of painting. If it was oil painting, he would have won awards. He'd be a rich man. But he doesn't want to be a rich man. He just wants to serve the deity, Radha Krishna. And every morning it's like, what garland are going to be wearing this morning? Because he gets the very, very, because the deities are small, little tiny flowers. And he goes because he has a nice relationship, because he has a nice love for the deity that people love to. They save their special little pink flowers, little purple flowers. They give him this, you know, they just give it to him because they like him so much. And he brings them prasadam, and he goes, he makes a nice garland for the deity, and when he puts the garland on, he's so happy. Makes an outfit, nice turban. Summertime, he's got little shorts with Krishna, so he can be a cool little fan. In the back room, it's like a palace. He has a house, and he has mirrors. And he's, you know, it's not fantasy land. It's devotion. He just loves Krishna, and he loves to love Krishna. So, any chance for him after the deities are dressed? He's very clean, not only in the altar, because the deity, the Radha Krishna deities, Radha Govinda stay on the altar, but the little Radha Krishna, they're small, so they can move, they go over to the side, so that's Radha Krishna's room. And it's a palace. And so, after they're in the room and they're dressed, he's singing for them, and he learns different bhajans just to sing for their pleasure. He's happy. It's not just regulative. Okay, it's this time I gotta go do, okay, that's done next. Not like that. He is absorbed in pleasing the deity. And that's a stage that we should try to get to. It's a stage that if we can get to, it's very, very wonderful. And what Prabhupada describes is when we worship Krishna in that way, one day Krishna will speak with us. And he'll say, I am like this. What Prabhupada said during the installation of Rukmini Dwarkadish. But the mood to get to that stage, that's a very advanced stage, but to get to that stage, one has to follow the vidhis of archana. The vidhis include, what was the vidhi that you said? Regularity, right? So regularity is one of the vidhis in deity worship. Being very punctual and very clean. Those are the two most important vidhis. If you're regularly being right on time and you're regularly very clean, guess what that does to your whole habit of life? You're on time and you're clean. Not just the altar is clean and you're on time, but your life is clean. And that cleanliness is internal cleanliness also, because if you're not internally clean, you're not going to regularly be externally clean. So that the hearing and chanting that goes along when you're worshiping the deity. What pleases the deity, those that are experienced in deity worship come to know this, it's not just a decoration, but it's the glorification, the sound vibration, the prayers that are offered to the deity. It's not egoism or something. It's love. It's an offering of love through sound vibration. We had this situation, I don't want to talk about it too much because it's very painful, but there was a time when Radha Govinda were in a 12-story building in Manhattan, and through a stroke of madness, somebody sold that building and took the asset that represented that building and made several temples, and Radha Govinda were put in a small place on 7th Avenue, from a 12-story building to a 4-story building that was like 20 feet by 100 feet, one of those kind of railroad car-shaped buildings. And there was so much renovation needed in the building that there was no public assembly. In fact, I had been in New England for about a year and a half when that big mistake happened, so I hadn't seen the deities, so I came to see them. And they were in a construction, one of those blue, whatever you call those things, tarps stretched over their head to catch the debris so it wouldn't fall on their head. And there was no assembly. And they looked angry. They were angry, and they looked angry. Their facial features changed. Once Prabhupada came to visit, just something about how the facial features of the deity change. In 1971, in the summer of 1971, Srila Prabhupada visited our Brooklyn temple. And at that time, the president had this really bright idea that he wanted to have Mangal Arati at 4 o'clock. All the other temples were having Mangal Arati at 4:30. He liked to get up early. He liked having a nice early morning and started Mangal Arati at 4 o'clock. So then Prabhupada came to visit, and after he came from the airport and took darshan of the deity and went to his quarters, the first question he asked was, how much rest are the deities getting? And the temple president said, this is how much rest the deities are getting. He said, what time do you have Mangal Arati? We have Mangal Arati at 4 o'clock. He said, that's too early. Govinda looks tired. You should have Mangal Arati later. Then all the other temples were having it at 4:30, so he moved it to 4:15. And for years it was 4:15 because Govinda was looking tired. There's other, this is just within my limited experience, but there was one pujari whose name I won't mention, who was like kind of a stern, very strict, she didn't even like doing deity worship pujari, and the deities looked like, you know, they weren't very happy getting her worship. And so she decided she wanted not to do that service. She requested some other service. So Rukmini here became the head pujari of Radha Govinda. And there, you can see pictures of like before and after. They look happy. There's one really fantastic photo of an ostrich feather outfit that Rukmini designed. Big plumage of this side and that side and all around. Radha Govinda in their ostrich feather outfit, and they were chic, boy. The envy of Fifth Avenue. Come, you think you're beautiful, come see Radha Govinda. And then this other situation where they were without kirtan, without assembly. So, they were there. Get me out of this situation now. We got him out of that situation, and as soon as there was big assembly and nice big kirtan hall and lots of Harinam Sankirtan, they were happy again. Their facial features changed. Not imagination. You can see it in the pictures. Different appearance. So, the deity is very pleased by kirtan. It's an open secret. Especially Gornatai. But all deities. Because it's part of the process of deity worship. The archana process is to be accompanied with kirtan. In fact, all of the other processes, according to Jiva Goswami, the fundamental processes of bhakti are to be accompanied with kirtan. And in deity worship, when the kirtan is there, the nicest offering, even if you don't have all the nicest of ornaments and opulent jewelry and so on, that's nice, but have nice kirtan and a regular basis for the deities. And they're very pleased. Okay. And if you're very sincere, there's many, many descriptions, not only the deity would speak to the devotee, but they would play with the devotee and do so many things with the devotee. Eat the prasad and it was missing off the altar. So many nice. Because of time, I'm not going to go into those nice leelas. Our worship should not be so that they do some miracle for our pleasure. Our worship should be for their pleasure. And when we function in that way, we make advancement. Our dormant love for Krishna awakens. Now, in the course of this visit, one question came up. What about our deity worship at home, and what about the deity worship at the temple? Because I like worshiping my deity at home, and I like worshiping the deity in the temple. What to do? So, it's nice that you have deities in your home, because it does things like we just heard the family here say. It helps us become regulated. It gives us impetus for chanting. It keeps everything, it helps us keep everything very clean and very centered and focused upon Krishna. At the same time, there's the deity in the temple, and it's by the mercy of the devotees, of the followers of Srila Prabhupada, and the mercy of the deity from the temple that we've become Krishna conscious, come in contact with Krishna consciousness and taken up the process of Krishna consciousness, so we should try to serve the deity in the temple too, in some form or fashion, each one. Some little thing, if there's a desire, the pujaris or the temple will find some way that you can serve the deity. And then each week, some part of your week is you're doing something specifically for the temple deity, along with your maintaining of some worship at home. And then just like we had some nice Sankirtan here, the youth who led Kirtan. I remember Chaitanya Das from the time when he could barely walk. Now he can't wait for the next Kirtan. He grew up like that, hearing his parents chanting and worshipping the deity, and that's become his life. And Ramriya is taking to that very nicely also. A little shy to chant publicly, but when we twist her arm a little bit, she'll chant for the pleasure of the deity and the pleasure of the devotee. devotees. And so, you too, you and your brother, he likes to play kartals, but he can chant as well. In the course of time, maybe Chaitanya will teach him something. How to sing nice bhajans for Krishna. And worship the deity very nicely, and then when you get to the temple, then it becomes part of your activity at the temple as well. So let's have Arti. Shishi going to Thai. Okay. Is that right? Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada.
Thai.
Thai. Thai. Thai. Thai. Thai. Thai. Thai. Thai. Thai. Thai. Thai. Thai. Thai. Thai. Thai. Thai. Thai. Thai. Thai. Thai. Thai. Thai. Thai. Thai. Thai. Thai. Thai. Thai. Thai. Thai. Thai. Thai. Thai. Thai. Thai. Thai. Thai. Thai. Thai. Thai. Thai. Thai. Thai. Thai. Thai. Thai. Thai. Thai. Thai. Thai. Thai. Thai. Thai. Thai. Thai. Thai. Thai. Thai. Thai. Thai. Thai. Thai. Thai. Thai. Thai. Thai. Thai. Thai. Thai. Thai. Thai. Thai. Thai. Thai. Thai. Thai. Thai. Thai. Thai. Thai. Thai. Thai. Thai. Thai. Thai. Thai. Thai. Thai. Thai. Thai. Thai. Thai.